Attention passengers, this is your captain speaking. Brace for impact. This is Tom Lewis. In my book, Brace for Impact, I gave you the big picture about the beginning of the crash of the industrial age. Here, on the Daily Impact, we chronicle the downward spiral. One cannot answer a question that has not been asked. If you're a parent, you know exactly what I mean. And one cannot ask a question of which one cannot conceive. Thus does ignorance remain locked in place. Before we can learn anything useful from or about any other culture, we have to remove any blinders that prevent us from conceiving of questions. Things like bigotry, racism, intolerance, delusions of superiority and exceptionalism, convictions of a special and exclusive relationship with God. Fellow white Europeans, we have some work to do. The toxic brew that characterizes our relationships with other races did not begin with our contact with Native Americans, of course, but it sure reached a kind of an apex before our mutual story was done. We can't atone for that behavior, of course, but it would be good if we could stop it. Columbus set the bar by mistakenly calling the first people he saw on the west side of the Atlantic Ocean Indians, because that's what he was looking for, and in his culture, which is now ours, believing was seeing. That was just the beginning of the ignorance. As European traders, explorers, and then settlers began moving inland, they would get to know a tribe, eventually become aware of another tribe some distance away, and would ask their hosts, "Who are they?" "Oh, you'd better steer clear of them," would come the reply. "They're rattlesnakes," pronounced Iroquois. Or, "You mean those people out west? They are cutthroats," pronounced Sioux. "The ones down south? Cannibals," or Mohawk. Almost all the names assigned to the tribes of North America were in fact vile pejoratives, often words from a language other than their own. And today the PC police get overwrought about the Washington Redskins. Anyone who cared could find out, of course, that each tribe referred to itself as the people, perhaps with some modifier. The Iroquois were the people of the Longhouse, or Haudenosaunee. The Sioux were just the people, Lakota. And the Mohawks were the true people, Ongwe Hanwe. But who cared? Is there any right more fundamental to human dignity than the right to be called by your own name in your own language? Is there any worse insult than refusing to do that? But wait, there's more. Every Native American had an identity with two parts. Asked for it, he or she would offer a name and a clan. One's clan membership, not tribe now, but clan, was as vital to knowing who a person was as our last names are to us. Clan membership determined who one could and could not marry. It was the clan that defined and preserved and passed on the behaviors and beliefs that comprised the character of its members. Hardly any white people knew then, or know to this day, that the clans even existed. Moreover, most of the clans in North America were matrilineal, meaning when a couple married, they went to live with the wife's clan. When a child was born, it was born into its mother's clan. When a person died, any possession or title that could be inherited, and not many could, went to daughters, not sons. A child was taught the ways of the clan, that is, virtually everything about life, from how to hunt to how to cook to how to dress, by aunts or uncles who were fellow clan members. Fathers who were not had little to do with their progeny, but had major responsibilities for raising their sisters' offspring. Think what this means for Europeans' attempts to establish religious and political authority by invoking, as they did constantly, for centuries, the presumed authority of a great white father residing somewhere overseas or in Washington or in heaven. If you ever come across a carefully done transcript of an exchange of views between whites and natives, you will note that when the natives wish to convey respect, they use the appellation uncle. And their responses to the notion that they are in the care of a great white father fairly drip with sarcasm. "Hey, lighten up," I can hear someone calling. "Why are you so down on your ancestors for not knowing enough about Indians? They didn't have Google." Well, I am down on them and the culture they bequeathed us, not only because the culture's baked-in bigotry enabled one of the most evil episodes of genocide in the history of the world, but because the habit of racist condescension is still here, still killing people, still poisoning our relations among people of color and white people everywhere. We fought and lost a terrible war in Vietnam, convinced that the people of Vietnam were allied with the people of China against us. In fact, they had been mortal enemies for 1,000 years. We fought our longest war in Afghanistan and our dumbest in Iraq, with little knowledge of the religious sects and familial clans that are central to life in those countries. If we can't change our own culture's nature, change its tendencies to racism, violence, exploitation, and greed, we have no hope of a better future. Because bound as we are by chains of traditional ignorance, we can't even see the multitude of paths that could lead us to a better place. Fortunately, the ignorance I've been describing was then and is now dominant, but not universal. There is another thing that happened during our early history with Native Americans that is virtually unknown and has immense significance for our present inquiry. We'll get to that next time. To keep up with the ways our industrial world is falling apart, subscribe to The Daily Impact. To better understand them, the second edition paperback edition of Brace for Impact is now available at Amazon.com. For now, this is Tom Lewis saying, brace for impact.